If you have been with us over the Advent season, we have been walking through the Christmas story in a different way. We've been walking through it in light of a book that has been very popular since the 60s. It's called The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which very clearly tells the story of the gospel from the perspective of a man named C.S. Lewis, who was an atheist, but who came to faith under the storytelling work of J.R. Tolkien. Excuse me. And so I want to conclude that series this morning, where we very clearly are taken to the story of a man named Aslan, who is a picture of Christ. And what I hope that as we read the Christmas story this morning, that you would think of the story in a new way. And here's what I want you to hopefully catch, is that he is the Lion of Judah. Carmen already read about that in Revelation 5. But he's also the Lamb of God. There are two pictures in the Christmas story that I think we need to grasp. One of a lion and one of a lamb. Let's read the Christmas story. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. When they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company with the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said nothing to one another. "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread word concerning what had been said. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. In the story, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, Aslan is not always physically there, but he's present. He's looking over their lives. He's leading. He's guiding. He's protecting them. He's showing them how he wants them to live. And there are four children, Peter, Susan, Lucy, and Edmund. They have one of these encounters which had to have been magical. You can only dream about it. Where a beaver begins to talk. And he begins to tell them about this character named Aslan, to whom they had never met. They knew nothing about him. He was on the move. something began to happen within the story of Peter and Lucy and Susan. Peter was all of a sudden becoming more brave and adventurous. Susan was filled with peace. And while Lucy, every day was Christmas for her. And then a chapter later, they still didn't know anything about this character. Much like many people know nothing about Christ and his story. And so they began to ask, "Who is he?" To which the beaver says, "You do not know. He is the king. He's the son of the emperor beyond the sea." And there the journey began for them, and I hope it begins for us. Because there in Revelation 5 and in the Christmas story, we find two different perspectives on this child who would be born in a manger. The first is a lion. Meet Jesus, the Lion of Judah. What a beautiful picture for Jesus. Because a lion is majestic. It is a symbol of strength and agility. Its mane and its roar set it apart from every other animal. Not only was it a symbol of royalty, in the Bible, it says something about the character of God. The lion, who has unimpeachable authority, is filled with meekness. The lion who yields absolute power and strength exemplifies weakness and suffering like no other. The lion who rules and governs the world, whereas the lamb allows himself to be slaughtered. The lion who's known for righteousness. The lamb for love. The lion who captivates and is beautiful and has those who adorn in comparison to a lamb who goes away in peace and quietness. The lion who is majestic. The lamb who is, in human eyes, all not that impressive. The lion who is holy. The lamb who is tender-hearted and gracious. The lion who, with a single word, could cause a sea to become calm. And then a lamb who says nothing when he was mocked and ridiculed and jeered and makes his way to a cross. The lion who in itself becomes a lamb. The lion who commands obedience. The Lamb of God, who was obedient to the Father, who was obedient to the law, who was obedient unto death. What a stark comparison, isn't it? When you begin to wrap your mind around the story of Christmas, of the person of Christ. On one hand, you have the King who is full of authority and righteousness and majesty and holiness. On the other side, you have the King who is a lamb and who's adoring and tender-hearted and loving. It's almost too much to take in. And that's where I'm glad that Carmen read to us a little bit from Revelation 5, because here in the beginning of the announcement of Christ's birth, you have the story of the majesty of the King who would redeem the world. And in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, you have that crowning moment where it says there had been up to this point no one worthy to open the scrolls. And Jesus becomes the one who is righteous and holy. And through his death and resurrection and ascension, has given us victory and given us freedom and has given us life. What a beautiful picture of the Christmas story of Emmanuel, God with us. And that's where I can't help but picture Lucy and Susan and Peter at this point, asking, who is he? Because their next question is this: is meeting Jesus safe? And there's nothing safe about Jesus. Isn't that an exciting thing? There's nothing safe about Jesus. Because Jesus, in his grace and his wisdom, will revolutionize your life. Picture it. You are declared forgiven. You are declared right. You are declared holy because of this lion and this lamb coming together for you and I. And as he does that, as you get to know Jesus, you're going to become more grace-filled, more loving, more forgiving, more compassionate. And he's going to take you on this wild journey of faith. But he will always be there. He will always lead you. And he will always guide you. And so you entered into the Christmas story this morning. There were shepherds, we learn, looking over their field. Nobody paid much attention to them. There was nothing good really, about them. There was nothing extraordinary. People didn't pay them much attention. They weren't looked upon very well. But they did take care of sheep. And you know, most of the sheep that they would be looking after would be for the temple. Most of the sheep that shepherds looked after were sheep that in all likelihood would be offered as temple sacrifices. They couldn't bring expensive gifts. But can you imagine what it was like to be a shepherd, watching, minding your own business in the field by night, and some angels come to you and say, "Do not be afraid, fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy. Unto you a child is born, and he is Christ the Lord." They could have had no idea that they were going to meet the Lamb of God, who ultimately and finally and once and for all would take away the sin of the world. Up until this point, Mary was told she was going to have a child. It was going to be a miraculous birth. And she treasured that in her heart. The disciples needed to do the same thing, because it wasn't until Christ's death and resurrection and his ascension and his reappearance that they actually understood what it meant that he was the lion and the lamb. They too treasured it all in their heart. But our text tells us that these shepherds found the Messiah. They found the Lamb of God. We're not told how they found, but we're told there were some signs. You will find a child, it will be a boy, and you'll find it in a manger. Can you picture the commotion that was going on as they made their way into Bethlehem? As that star pointed the way. It's like Waze going off on your phone. Ding, 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 ding. or Google Maps saying you have arrived. And you wonder, how could it be that this Lamb of God would be born in a manger? But what we learn is that they went and they found the Messiah. We're invited to rest in the story of the manger. If you've ever come face to face with Jesus, you'll realize that he changes everything. And so as the lion and as the lamb, he comes into our story at Christmas to bring good news of great joy for you and I. And so we begin to admire that Christ child. We begin to admire him for his glory, but even more for his humility. We admire him for his transcendence, but not only for that, but that he was willing to be condemned. We admire him for his justice, but we admire that it's not only justice, but it's justice and mercy. We admire him that he had equality with God, but we admire him even more that he had reverence for his Father. We admire him because he had sovereign dominion, but we admire him even more because of his submission and his obedience. We love the way how he stumped the religious teachers, but we admire even more his love for little children. We admire him because he could speak and the sea would be calm. But we admire him even more that when he was going to the cross and he was ridiculed, he said nothing. Have you been able to rest this Christmas season at the manger? Have you been able to rest in this amazing story of a lion and a lamb coming together for you and I? Marv Rosenthal wrote a cute poem I came across this week that reveals what I'm hoping you'll get. The first one's from Micah 5, verse 2. Mary had a little lamb who lived before his birth. Self-existent Son of God, from heaven he came to earth. Isaiah 7. Mary had the little lamb, see him in the yonder stall. Virgin birth, Son of God, to save man from the fall. John 6, verse 38 alludes to this. Mary had the little lamb, obedient Son of God. Everywhere the Father led, his feet were sure to trod. Mary had a little lamb crucified on a tree. The rejected Son of God, he died to set man free. Ties into 1 Peter 1. Mary had the little lamb. Men placed him in a grave, thinking they were done with him. To death he was no slave. Matthew 26, 6. Mary had the little lamb. Ascended, now is he. All work on earth is done, our advocate to be. Tied into Hebrews 4. Mary had the little lamb, mystery to behold. From the Lamb of Calvary, a lion will withhold. Revelation 5. When the day star comes again, of sure you can be this. It won't be like a little lamb, but he'll return with a lion's roar. People of God, that is the exciting news of the story of God, is that he came into the world for you and I, that he has redeemed us, that he set us free for this wild adventure of faith, but that he's going to come again. And all that is wrong in the world, he's going to make right. And there's going to be a day where there's going to be no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more death, because the lion became a lamb. Come this Christmas season and rest the manger and behold the lion and the Lamb saying this, I came for you. I love you. I came to set you free. Merry Christmas. Let's pray together. Many of us, oh God, have heard the Christmas story so many times, and it becomes all too familiar. And we thank you that just as you did in the life of C.S. Lewis, you do in our story. You come and you meet us exactly where we're at. And we thank you that although you have the majesty and the authority and the right to rule as a lion, you do it with the heart of a lamb. And we thank you that you were willing to leave the throne room of heaven, the side of your Father, because you love us. And in this Christmas season, oh God, we pray that that work which you have begun and continue to do within us would challenge us to become by faith more and more like you. And that as that your Spirit works within us, that we would begin to radiate those characteristics of the Lamb. And that day by day, more by more, we'd be more loving, more compassionate, more gracious, more caring, more understanding, more forgiving. But also, Lord, that we would be able to rest amidst the story of our lives as we hear those words that you are with us. And that when we don't see it, when we struggle, when we wrestle, when we have doubts and we have questions, that comfort of the victorious risen Christ would encourage our faith, that would refresh us, and that even in the midst of today, we would be able to say, Merry Christmas. Long live the King. In your name we pray. Amen.